The reading is taken from Luke chapter 14, verses 1 to 24. Jesus at a Pharisee's house. One Sabbath, when Jesus went to eat in the house of a prominent Pharisee, he was being carefully watched. There, in front of him, was a man suffering from dropsy. Jesus asked the Pharisees and experts in the law, "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath or not?" But they remained silent. So taking hold of the man, he healed him and sent him away. Then he asked them, "If one of you has a son or an ox that falls into a well on the Sabbath day, will you not immediately pull him out?" And they had nothing to say. When he noticed how the guests picked the places of honour at the table, he told them this parable. When someone invites you to a wedding feast, do not take the place of honour, for a person more distinguished than you may have been invited. If so, the host who invited both of you will come and say to you, "Give this man your seat." Then, humiliated, you will have to take the least important place. But when you are invited, take the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he will say to you, "Friend, move up to a better place." Then you will be honoured in the presence of all your fellow guests. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. Then Jesus said to his host, "When you give a luncheon or dinner, do not invite your friends, your brothers or relatives, or your rich neighbours. If you do, they may invite you back, and so you will be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed. Although they cannot repay you, you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous." The parable of the great banquet. When one of those at the table with him heard this, he said to Jesus, "Blessed is the man who will eat at the feast in the kingdom of God." Jesus replied, "A certain man was preparing a great banquet and invited many guests. At the time of the banquet, he sent his servant to tell those who had been invited, 'Come, for everything is now ready.' But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said, 'I have just bought a field and I must go and see it. Please excuse me.' Another said, 'I have just bought 5 yoke of oxen and I'm on my way to try them out. Please excuse me.' Still another said, 'I have just got married, so I can't come.' The servant came back and reported this to the master. Then the owner of the house became angry and ordered his servant, 'Go out quickly into the streets and alleys of the town and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind and the lame.' 'Sir,' the servant said, 'what you ordered has been done, but there is still room.' Then the master told his servant, 'Go out to the roads and country lanes and make them come in so that my house will be full. I tell you, not one of those men who were invited will get a taste of my banquet.'" This is the word of the Lord.
If heaven involves a great banquet, what would you like to be on the table? Will it be cake such as we have had this morning? Is there a favourite meal that you'd like? Perhaps beef Wellington or its vegan equivalent. Perhaps sumptuous sausages and delicious desserts. Maybe Moët et Chandon or Châteauneuf du Pape to drink. And after dinner treats from Hotel Chocolat or Thornton's. All of them calorie-free? Because surely it won't be possible to put on weight in heaven, will it? And who would you like to be round the table? Well, hopefully your family, your friends, perhaps people you'd like to have met in this life. I'd quite like to have a chat with Bono of U2. If you ask my brother-in-law, he'd probably like Catherine Jenkins sitting next to him, but each to their own. What about you? Good food in the company of good friends and the good Lord. What's not to like in that kind of scenario? Well, the Jews of Jesus' day had a belief in a great banquet on the final day of all things, the day when God breaks into history. This was when the Messiah would come and evil would be overcome and God will reign. It's summed up in the words from Isaiah 25 that I read at the beginning of the service that I'll now read from the Message paraphrase, which say, "But here on this mountain, God of the angel armies will throw a feast for all the people of the world, a feast of the finest foods, a feast with vintage wines, a feast of seven courses, a feast lavish with gourmet desserts. And here on this mountain, God will banish the pall of doom hanging over all peoples, the shadow of doom darkening all nations. Yes, he'll banish death forever. And God will wipe the tears from every face. He'll remove every sign of disgrace from his people, wherever they are. Yes, God says so." As Jesus shares his parable of the great banquet, there is this weight of teaching and history behind it. And at the beginning of Luke 14, we learn that it is the Sabbath day, and Jesus has gone to eat in the home of a prominent local dignitary, a Pharisee, with other invited guests. It's likely that they eat outside in a courtyard. The Pharisee who could invite others was clearly a reasonably wealthy man, and that would have been the sort of home that the wealthy had at that time. So as they're out there in the courtyard, a sick man comes in. He's able to get in, whom Jesus heals, despite potential criticism. And Jesus prods away at the legalism of the dinner guests and suggests that they do things too that are necessary on the Sabbath. And then he turns and he looks around at the jostling for the best positions at the dinner table. Those people are there because they've been invited, but they've no right to choose the best places. That is for the host. It's better to be humble than exalted by being invited to a better seat than to exalt oneself and be humbled and demoted to a lower seat, says Jesus. And next, Jesus challenges his host. Don't invite people like yourself who can invite you back. Invite people who are not like you. That's how to be blessed and know that you'll be rewarded at the resurrection of the righteous. I think we find from this that Jesus is not always a comfortable guest to have round for dinner. And so we get the parable of the great banquet. A rather pious fellow guest, it seems, responds to Jesus and says, "Blessed is the one who will eat at the feast in the kingdom of God." It sounds like he's saying what he thinks Jesus would want him to say. Jesus replies with a parable and says, "A certain man was preparing a great banquet and invited many guests." A certain man inviting many guests. This is exactly what Jesus himself has been doing, traveling the country and declaring that the kingdom of God is near, through teaching and preaching, through forgiving and healing, and especially through feeding. Jesus has been summoning people to God's great banquet. In the parable, the master sends his servant to remind the invited guests on the day, "Come, for everything is now ready." Jesus is both the message and the messenger, and he is calling God's people, saying, now is the time. In the first instance, Jesus is calling God's chosen people, the Jews, the people of whom he is a part. I am the one that you've been waiting for, he says, through his words, through his ministry. Come and celebrate. Now don't forget that like the Pharisees that Steve talked about last week, it wasn't all of the Jews who refused the invitation. The first Christians were Jews, most of them, after all. And yet there were many, as today perhaps, that don't recognise the one that they've been waiting for. And they made excuses in this story of Jesus, maybe thinking that the place at the banquet actually was theirs by right. It was guaranteed. So one invited guest says, I have just bought a field and I must go and see it. Please excuse me. To which Jesus might respond, but won't the field be there tomorrow? The guest, this guest, is letting business get in the way of God's invitation. Another says, I've just bought 5 yoke of oxen, that's 5 pairs, and I'm on my way to try them out. Please excuse me. This person is letting possessions get in the way of God's invitation, and they too will be there tomorrow. Another says, I have just got married, so I can't come. Well, I have a little more sympathy here, I have to say. It aligns with Deuteronomy 24, verse 5, which says, if a man has recently married, he must not be sent to war or have any other duty laid on him. For 1 year he is to be free to stay at home and bring happiness to the wife he has married. In a previous church, I had a couple start attending our church who had been married 6 months. And they had great gifts that could be used, and I was looking forward to using them. But they referred to this verse as the reason not to serve in the church until a year of marriage was up. And I couldn't really argue with that. But I noted down the date of their wedding anniversary. And when the time came, I was ready. And yet, I think to myself, if the king, as we must now say, the King of England and Great Britain, invited them to a banquet, would they not accept? How much more the King of Kings? This guest who declines is letting personal relationship come between him and God's invitation. Now, don't get Jesus wrong. I don't think that Jesus is saying that business and possessions and relationships are not important. I think he's saying that they are, but not to the extent that they become more important than the God who blesses us with those things, who gives us those things as a gracious gift. What are the things that get in the way of your relationship with God? What might prevent you from sitting down at God's great banquet? I think Jesus challenges his listeners and challenges us with that thought. Well, the excuses are made, and the servant goes and reports back to his master, who gets angry. Now, often with parables, and I think to a certain extent here, we identify the master with God, don't we? Is God angry? I asked myself as I was sort of sitting down preparing this sermon, is God angry at those who refuse his invitation? Here I'm not so sure, I have to say. Sad, maybe. Sad because God knows the blessings that people could have by accepting. But is he angry? Not so sure. We can't press every detail of every story of Jesus in the boxes that we may want to put it. And yet this is a story which tells that if the original invited guests refuse to turn up, God will and God does invite others. And he sends the servant out now into the less desirable neighbourhoods of the town to bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind and the lame. We're kind of used to Jesus reaching out, aren't we, to the poor, the blind, the crippled and the lame. We may miss how radical this is. Today, we are much more accepting, I hope, we certainly should be, of people who are not like us, of people who are differently able to us. Going back to Old Testament times, though, in Leviticus 21, in a section of rules for priests, we're told that no man who has any defect may come near to offer sacrifices. Not blind, nor lame, disfigured and deformed. And many people in Jesus' time believed that God could not possibly welcome such people into the temple and that God would exclude them from the great banquet. But not Jesus. I wonder how you responded to the first song that we sang this morning. Come, all you vagabonds. Come, all you don't belongs. Winners and losers. Come, people like me. Vagabond isn't a word that we use often in everyday speech, I don't think. I don't, do you? No. So I looked it up. I mean, I had a good idea of what it meant, but honest. But I looked it up in dictionary.com, which describes a vagabond as an idle wanderer without a permanent home or visible means of support. Tramp. Vagrant. Excluded from polite society and temple worship. The don't-belongs that Jesus describes could easily be vagabonds. As I look around this morning, I don't see any who could obviously be described as vagabonds. Well, maybe one or two, but not saying which ones. And yet we could have been vagabonds and don't-belongs in the world of Jesus' day, not officially the people of God. We could have been excluded from the temple, which was meant, let's not forget, to be the house of prayer for all nations. But Jesus reverses expectations. He places those who are on the margins of society at the centre of his ministry. He welcomes the blind, the lame, those seen as disfigured and deformed, and the don't belongs like us. And if you are here this morning feeling that you don't belong, know that Jesus is inviting you to his great banquet. As the song goes on, come all you travellers, tired from the journey, come wait a while, stay a while, welcomed you'll be. Come all you questioners, looking for answers and searching for reasons and sense in it all. Come all you fallen and come all you broken, find strength for your body and food for your soul. Of course, like all invitations, his invitation can be declined. It can be ignored. I've declined invitations to things because I was otherwise engaged, or I was ill, or I didn't want to go. Not any of yours, of course, but would you really want to decline the invitation of Jesus, the King? Jesus says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. He calls those he desires to be his disciples, saying, come, follow me. He declares, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. He says, I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners. in words and by actions, Jesus says, come. Jesus calls the don't belongs and the don't feel worthies and says, come to the feast, there is room at the table. All of us are really don't belongs. None of us is worthy, but with faith in Jesus, we are included. He has become the don't belong for us on the cross, so that we can belong. He has made himself the unworthy one on the cross, so that we can be worthy. Not just Ed worthy, but all worthy. This year's president of the Baptist Union of Great Britain is the Reverend Hayley Young. And she has a theme for her presidential year, which is that of building a bigger table. Building a bigger table. We are all invited to eat at God's table in the great banquet, and it is big enough for all. But I wonder if we sometimes make it seem smaller. Do we restrict it to people like us? Do we limit it by not inviting anyone at all? God has invited us to his heavenly party, but as party guests, he also expects us to become party hosts. I had thought about having communion today as a sign of the heavenly banquet to come. I decided not to because I think we often emphasise, and rightly, the solemnity of what Jesus has done on the cross, but then we forget the celebration and the anticipation of drinking wine with him again in the Father's kingdom. So that's why I thought of coffee and cake, or tea and cake, or whatever. But here's a challenge as we head soon into a season of celebration. Yes, Christmas is coming. Christmas adverts are out there, aren't they, from the various supermarkets. I've been watching them. Sad that I am. But how about as we head towards the season of celebration, how about if each household here invited someone to join us around the table in our home? Someone we wouldn't normally invite. Maybe I don't belong. If you're someone who doesn't do hospitality at home, doesn't find it easy, well, get someone around the table at a cafe or similar. And how about if each of us invited this Christmas someone who wouldn't normally do church to be with us in church as we celebrate the coming of the Saviour? Maybe, just maybe, through our invitations, we would enact Jesus' parable of the great banquet and the words we've sung. Come to the feast. There is room at the table. Come, let us meet in this place with the King of all kindness who welcomes us in with the wonder of love and the power of grace. With the wonder of love and the power of grace.